guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
I am so sick and tired of these little screens out wide that Aaron Jones or the receiver, we don't throw the ball downfield. We did last week against Dallas and had great results. Today was back to what we did during the five-game losing streak. It's like they completely threw the Dallas film out there, they threw it away, and went back to what they did to lose. I mean, it was pathetic. It was a team we should have beat, and if we actually had called a great game plan, we would have beat them. But we got a bunch of coaches who don't know how to coach, and, I mean, you can blame LaFleur for bringing Joe Barry in. They need to go.
With these guys.
I want to hear that guy. Do we know what that guy's name was from, by the way, the 107.5 The Fan?
So unfortunately, no names on these clips. I don't know. Okay. Our amazing producer, Jason, who cuts up all these and finds up all this stuff for us. But no names, shockingly. I would love to know, is that Ole? Like, what is this guy's name here?
Let's call him Bob or whatever his name was. I want to hear that guy. I want them to usher him into the locker room. Okay, so here are 53 Packers players, 10, 14 practice squatters, 29 coaches and the front office. Tell them how to do their jobs, guy.
That's the great part about football, though,
it's
and
so
sports
great.
In
well,
general.
We do it every day here.
Yeah, we do.
I know
living.
We do. Yeah, I can't criticize Bob for that.
Media and sports and athletes. So, like, the only profession we can, like, make fun of, like, plumbers don't make fun of real estate agents. You know what I'm saying? And politicians.
What are you
also,
doing, guy?
Yeah, what are you
I mean,
doing?
You used the wrong wrench.
Yeah.
You went to this house and used the right wrench. Now you brought your different tool set. Why would you bring a different toolkit?
It's sports sports teams and athletes, media personalities, politicians. That's the only realm where we can all make fun of people. But like a car mechanic is not going to make fun of a CPA. It doesn't exist.
I've got one for you. Actors.
Yeah, celebrities and actors are. Yeah,
I mean, come on, Keanu.
Yes, that is accurate. Like the Kardashians and stuff. You know, actors and reality stars.
Put yourself out there; you're going to get made fun of. I mean, it's happened to all three of us.
So a few days ago, old Macadac sent a tweet out to Vikings fans, just saying, "Hey, in a couple weeks, the Green Bay Packers play the Philadelphia Eagles. The rooting interest among Vikings fans in that game should probably be the Packers." Because the division, even before the Packers lost last night, the division's kind of a wrap. And the Eagles are right there with you. You're fighting for the number one seed. You want to play home playoff games inside U.S. Bank Stadium, right? The amount of pushback I received from Vikings fans saying, never will I ever root for the Packers, or the division is not over yet. The Packers could make a run. This Packers fear-mongering that's out there. Well, however you felt a few days ago, the Packers are now 6 games behind the Vikings in the loss column, 5 games back overall.
Yes.
Do you think the Vikings have 1 loss? The Packers have 7. Are they going to match losses on their end of season record? Are the Vikings going to finish 10-7 after an 8-1 start? It is over.
Well, and if the Vikings do, then screw them. Because they're not going to, but like if
correct.
You're going to fall apart that bad, I have only one thing to say. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, go Eagles.
Fly,
I mean, yes,
Eagles,
you,
fly.
Yes, you want the Eagles. This whole thing, though, like with the Packers and, you know, all the Packers might do this. Look, folks, we are seeing, and it's finally upon us, right, the beginning of the end. And I'll give you the one thing from last night that's so key, because this happens to every Packer. Great QB, at least it happened to Brett Favre and it happened to Aaron Rodgers last night. And it's this one. 2007 NFC title game. Freezing cold. Lambeau Field. Favre was awful. Part of the reason why Favre came here was the Metrodome, which he couldn't stand as a kid, but he wanted to be indoors. And that's the game that Mike McCarthy told people off the record, if it hadn't been Brett Favre, I would have benched him at halftime. He was unplayable. Last night, Aaron Rodgers, the elements, dude was melting down. You know, this whole notion, this whole thing about, well, quarterbacks can play to the look at Tom Brady. Okay, Tom Brady is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. Aaron Rodgers is getting old. It's cold. He's miserable. His team's not that good. And so I do think now we are seeing the end. I don't expect like some type of great comeback from the Packers and especially Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's bad. Let's hear from some more depressed Packers fans here on Packer Frontline, Mackie and Judd. Go,
Pack, go! Yeah, I think we're focusing the blame on the wrong spot. I think it should be blamed on Murphy and, excuse my pronunciation, Gutenanzer. They put Rodgers in an untenable position, or even LaFleur, who's in charge? And nobody's in charge, and it's showing up in the offense.
Gutenkunster. Gutenheimer.
You know what? That is a well-lubricated fan.
It is.
That is a well-lubricated fan, feeling no pain despite the Packers' loss.
No, he's been numb emotionally and physically for probably about 15 hours at this point. All right, let's keep lining these guys up, man. Just let's rack them.
Mason Crosby needs to get fired, all right? He's too old for this stuff. To be pooching an extra point like that and getting it blocked, that's just, he's too old for this. We need a younger kicker in there that's going to kick better field goals. I mean, in the pregame, we got the backup kicker. He's kicking 70-yard field goals or 60-yard field goals like it's nothing, and we're putting Mason Crosby in there. That needs to be stopped.
Okay. I will say.
Here we go.
I noticed this too. On shorter kicks, he did this with one of the field goals. He pooches the shorter kicks. You know how most kickers, it's like a 39-yard field goal. Most kickers are just going to line it up and kick it like it's a 55-yarder, and they're just going to blast it through. He is taking a little off the shorter field goals, and they're barely getting over the crossbar.
Ugh.
I don't know. He's treating them differently. So I saw the same thing that this fan did, even though I was not, well, I had one last night. I think that guy probably had about six drinks. Old Mackadak got into one glass last night.
There you go.
Imagine all the Packers problems, though. All the Packers problems, and you called WDUZ, and you wait on hold, chomping at the bit to give your hot take. And your hot take, I mean, among a team that is now just dead, your hot take is the kicker. You come on, man. You gotta come in with a Rodgers rip, something else. Go,
Pat, go! I'm just wondering if it's time to pull the plug on Rodgers. The guy has not been a leader. The guy is talking about drugs on the radio. He's completely discommitted to this team. I just wanted to say, Skol Vikings.
All right. Well, Skol Vikings, for sure. They're going to win the division.
Is that one of ours?
I mean.
We've encouraged
that
one, this.
Is that a Purple Daily listener? We did encourage this. Yeah,
And we still do.
And if it was you, please comment that you did. Or tweet at us that I went on whatever radio station to do this. This would have been great.
I did Google discommitted just to see if that's an actual word. It is not. Decommitted. Or can you be uncommitted? You can be uncommitted. You can decommit or be uncommitted. Discommitted is not a thing.
I sort of like the word, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
On the fly, that's a pretty good word.
Okay.
You're discommitted.
Okay. This
sounds good.
Add it to our vernacular.
One more. We got one more here.
Hey, I just want to say, Rodgers in the whole offense, it looks like me and my dear Stan, just a whole lot of nothing. I mean, our receivers can't create space. We got nothing going on offense. And, you know, that really hurts us because then our defense got to be on there more time than anything. And, I don't know, it just hurts. Sucks.
Poor guy.
It stinks.
That sounds like a younger fan there, too, man. Like, he probably missed. My guess is he sounds like a dude that was born just after the first Super Bowl championship.
Probably.
And so he has seen Hall of Fame quarterback play his entire life, but only one Super Bowl title.
That poor kid probably, froze his ass off in his deer stand, last weekend. And clearly wasn't able to get a buck. And then he had to watch, maybe a little tease on Sunday, right? They beat the Cowboys with an epic comeback, and then they just fall on their face against the Titans. Oh, just a rough week for that guy. Rough week.
No. Amazing. It sounds to me, actually, like, and I say this with all due respect, that all of these fans probably made a run to Lake Ridge Liquors before they called in to their favorite Packer postgame show on 107.5 The Fan. Lake Ridge Liquors, a new partner here on Mackie and Judd and Score North.
Yes, thank you to Lake Ridge Liquors for jumping on board for Mackie and Judd, Judd's Hockey Show. You know, there's a collection of Packer fans in Minnesota, unfortunately. We even work with them here in the building. And I would recommend going to Lake Ridge Liquors off 694 and Rice Street. They have over 1,000 wine in stock. They have plenty of Surly beer in stock. And the best part is, because I frequent the liquor store a lot, Judd and Mackie like to frequent the liquor store a lot, they have a rewards program, right? So when you go, and you go to Lake Ridge Liquors, you go there maybe for the first time, you mention SKOR, S-K-O-R, and they will spot you $5 in rewards on your next visit to Lake Ridge Liquors. So they're paying you to go to Lake Ridge Liquors. It's a reward system. Go check them out. They're off 694 in Rice Street in Vadnais Heights. Thank you to Lake Ridge Liquors. Go check them out, Lake Ridge Liquors.
Love it, love it. All right, let's get to Feedback Friday here. We have a few Vikings-related feedback questions. You can always send us stuff. We did a full feedback session on Purple Daily with a bunch of great Vikings stories and questions, comments. But all throughout the week, you can send us theories, takes, questions, whatever, life advice through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab, and we try to get to as many as we can at the end of the week. Andy Rep, or Reppy Rep, says, Phil, I'd love to hear you guys break down Walter Football's recent power rankings for this week.
Oh, my gosh.
After the Vikings beat Buffalo. A few people sent this in. Walter. This might be the harshest I've ever read about the Vikings all year. They're pretty much saying the Vikings have done nothing. All right, I'm going to read you guys an excerpt from, I think they have the Vikings like outside the top five. I don't have the ranking in front of me, but here's what they wrote. The Vikings are extremely lucky to be 8-1. They got the Packers when Green Bay was missing countless starters. They made a comeback against a Detroit team that suffered a ton of injuries during the game. They squeaked by the Saints, even though New Orleans was missing its starting quarterback, running back, and top receiver. They also couldn't generate any offense in the second half against the Bears, save for the final drive. There was that ridiculous Miami game, which the Dolphins legitimately outgained the Vikings by 224 yards with backup quarterbacks. But the Vikings beat the Bills in the doop-de-doo text. Sure, but not really. The Bills were 99% to win that game on multiple occasions. If Josh Allen didn't fumble the center exchange on the attempted sneak, the Bills would have run out the clock. Can I say, this is like the 50th time I've heard this thing about the Bills game. And I agree, like, it is fortunate that Josh Allen dropped the snap. Right. However, it's also fortunate that the Bills, who were lined up in the neutral zone on the quarterback sneak before the drop snap, weren't called for offsides. Yep. And it's fortunate, quite frankly, that they stopped the Vikings on a 4th and 2 inches on a game-winning sneak. Right? So where do you, like, how do you want to slice this up? Do you want, okay, right, the Vikings were literally an inch away, despite the Bills lining up in the neutral zone, from winning that game with a touchdown. They fail, and now the Bills have to dig their way out of their own end zone, and the Vikings got the push off the line of scrimmage. It would have been a safety if it wasn't a touchdown. Like, this is what I have a hard time with on the luck factor. It wasn't like they were lining up for a kneel down at the 20 and blah, you know, bobbled the snap.
Right.
A lot of this was forced by Vikings pressure. So, you know. And yes, the Vikings were clunky early in the year. They've been a lot better the last few weeks. They're kind of an ascending team, so. Walter Football, stick to mock draft guy.
I didn't know he did those. I didn't even know about that.
I didn't. So, I didn't, yeah, either. I thought it was exclusive to mock drafts.
So, I'm, yeah, dismissing Wally.
Okay.
See you in April.
And I think Wally has a staff of people that write for him too. Well, it's like Walter, and then a,
yeah,
bunch,
there's
of
no way Wally's doing all of this. He needs some help here.
Jeff Bowman says the Bills are now 2-9 in one score games the last 2 years, just like the Vikings were with Zimmer the last 2 years in one score games. Both Zimmer and Sean McDermott seem to get tight, and then their teams get tight in the final minutes. Both Zimmer and McDermott are defensive minded coaches. Do you think there's a theme or coincidence with coaches who are defense first that they struggle in close games?
I can see that. Like, that's interesting, and I can see that. But I mean, we've seen offensive coaches, Childress's teams, have some of the same problems as well. So I think it's an interesting theory. I think you would need to go and look at the coaches, though, because, I mean, there are just some personality types, too. Perhaps defensive guys, especially the old-school defensive guys, are wound tighter. because O'Connell does bring a sense of an air of confidence and calmness that I love.
Yes.
But there's been a lot. There's been a lot of football coaches who have expertise on both sides of the ball that don't have that.
I will say I don't think that the wound up personality necessarily makes the team wound up. I think it's more the opposite of the absence of a personality that can loosen things prevents the team from being loose. I don't think the coach is causing the tightness. I think the situation of the game is causing the tightness naturally. And you need a coach that can come in there like a John Harbaugh or someone that can kind of break the tension a little bit and be like, hey, you guys, it doesn't have to be like a stand-up comedian or anything, but just someone that's, hey, guys, it's okay. It's all good. You know, I've told you guys this story before. When I used to cover the Twins back 10 years ago as a beat writer, and, well, the Twins still can't beat the Yankees in the playoffs, but when they were going through that stretch where, like, every other year they would just get trounced by the Yankees in the playoffs, and it happened again in 2010 when I was a beat writer. And the next spring, I was on a flight to go cover spring training in, like, early February, and one of the Twins' assistant coaches was sitting right next to me on the plane, also on the way down to... So we sat there and talked for like 3 or 4 hours, and you know, after like an hour and a half, start to get comfortable, and this person told me, I love Gardy, Ron Gardenhire, the manager at the time, love Gardy, but he's part of the reason why we are not looser in these games. Like, the tension is there because it's a playoff game against the Yankees, and he oftentimes doesn't do enough to loosen it up, and you can sort of sense, like, everyone kind of. So do I think that Mike Zimmer and Sean McDermott are contributing to that? Maybe a little bit, but I think it's the lack of another gear in their personalities that prevents those teams from loosening up. That's my theory. I do buy into it.
Absolutely. And I think part of the thing, too, is, and we experienced it here from 2018 through 21, is in football, I don't think you can have both your quarterback and coach be teeth grinders and be successful. Like, yeah, one of them has to be like, we're fine.
Yeah, because Belichick's kind of a teeth grinder, but he also has everything under control at the same time.
Yes, but so. Brady wasn't. Like he just knew the mission. And I think in Kirk's case, I think if you turn Kirk loose and say, you know what, Kirk, this is all on you, go do it, I still don't think that you would have success. I think the O'Connell-Kirk combination is working really well for a reason.
Yeah, well, Kirk is being ushered into the deep end of the pool. Hey, I know this is uncomfortable, but we need you to, or the high dive. It's like Kirk loves the pool, loves the, you know, the aquatic center,
Kirko.
Loves the diving board, Kirko chains. We needed to go up to that one. It's late in the game.
I like the deep end, Phil, because like he's got the little things on his arms now, but it's like, you're not going to drown. It's going to be fine.
The floaties?
And so he's got, yeah, exactly. So he's floating a little bit, but I mean, he's still doing it. I like this. I like where you're going with this.
Yeah. Okay, Steve Weiner says, watching you and Alex Boone dig through film and talking about Kevin O'Connell's effect on Cousins made me think of discussions I have with my son about the NFL. The talent level on teams is so close that the coach's vision and culture is more important in the NFL than in any other pro league. I think, yes.
I like it.
Because it is the most socialist league in pro sports, where there's a salary cap across everything, there's a salary floor, so everyone is spending around the same amount of money. The worst teams in the league get access to the best draft picks, including the best young quarterbacks. And every year there's very rarely like, you know, here are these six teams are going to dominate for like an 8-year stretch. You know, baseball has that where, okay, right, now the Dodgers are going to be great for like 8 years and the Pirates are going to be garbage for this amount of time. If baseball had the same structure, the Pirates would pop up and be awesome. These small markets like Buffalo and Green Bay that produce, you know, 13-win teams and stuff. So, yeah, if the talent levels are all like within, you know, there's going to be outliers on either end, but if like there's 24 teams in the middle with similar talent levels, then, how, you know, finding little ways to win in the margins through culture or situational football, which Kevin O'Connell preaches, makes the difference.
I think there's a pretty good case to be made that, to that point, in football, you have the biggest effect because your roster is huge. Like, basketball, I'm not saying coaching's not important. The X's and O's are for sure, but it's a players' league, right? Like, the players, the best players are play a huge role, good or bad, in controlling their teams. Football, I think you set the tone for an enormous roster with different personalities and people. And I mean, look, I mean, the one thing that we can definitively say is when you look at what Zimmer did, good and bad, and when you look at what O'Connell did, the juxtaposition is huge. The difference between those two guys and fundamentally how they approach their plan is absolutely enormous. And in this case, at least for 2022, it's working. So
yeah, at least for the last few years anyways, because you can make a case that in the 14 to 17 version of the NFL that.
And this is, yes, and this is where O'Connell, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how he progresses too, because like this team was prepared for a fresh start. O'Connell's proved to be the perfect person to give them exactly that, right? But it's going to be interesting to see as this progresses and things change and people change and there's going to be problems that are unforeseen, how that is taken care of. Because, you know, when as good a guy as Les Frazier was, when Zimmer came here in 14 and 15, that was some very necessary tough love.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's going to be O'Connell's the perfect guy for right now. The story of his head coaching career very much has a lot of chapters left to play out.
Yes. A shout out to our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company for helping to elevate countless businesses, including ours, by the way. They've been a great supporter of us throughout the years as we have built Score North, Mackie and Judd, and Purple Daily. So we thank them for that. They're all about providing a guiding hand, risk management tools and resources. And you can find out more about their history, which dates back to 1904, on federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours. All right, the feedback continues here on Mackie and Judd. I kind of love this question here. This is from Ken Tomlin. We also have a Minnesota goodbye that Declan was texting us about last night that we're going to get to. So Ken Tomlin says, I'll start by saying I believe the answer to the question I'm about to ask is no. But here's the question. I'm wondering what your guys' opinion is of this comparison. Is Kirk capable of having a Rich Gannon-type career path? Meaning we all know what type of quarterback Gannon was in his early years and then how he turned it around later in his career, going to the Super Bowl, winning an MVP. Does Kirk have that type of run in him? Love your show. Been listening to you guys since the 1500 ESPN radio days. Keep up the great work. For context, Rich Gannon, fourth-round draft pick. Wasn't Cousins a fourth-round draft pick? Third, fourth-round draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. Gannon was kind of a Vikings backup and then a starter for the first 6 years. Then he bounced around to Washington, Kansas City. Now, Cousins has had a better statistical run between ages like 25 and 34 than Gannon did. Gannon was like kind of a starter, but then he wasn't, and kind of a backup. But then, at age 34, with Oakland, Gannon found the young, I guess you could say offensive-minded, but just like the young, energetic coach that he connected with in John Gruden at the time. And instantly, boom, his numbers spike. Team success comes a year later. And between ages 34 and 37, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He was a four-time Pro Bowler in those 4 years. He won the MVP at age 37. Super Bowl, led the NFL in yardage in 2002.
Interesting. Yeah.
So kind of, I mean, not totally apples to apples, but you find that right connection at coach and you've been in the league for like 10 years and all of a sudden, like the light goes on when you're 34 years old. Yeah. Okay.
I think in Gannon's case, having covered him a bit when he was here, I don't think Gannon had coming in and for a long time the talent that Kirk has. I think Gannon might have been mentally tougher. And so, yes, the trajectories are interesting, but, you know, Kirk's career is filled with starting. Like, he basically, 2015 became the now Commander starter. And so, like, I like the comparison, but I think they're two very different people. And to your point, Phil, the common thing, though, is this. Young John Gruden, really smart, gets with Gannon. Gruden more demanding than O'Connell, I think, in a lot of ways. But, yes, if the end result is the same, you're going to be entirely pleased. But I think they're different people. And don't forget, if I'm not mistaken, Gannon, fourth round pick of the Patriots.
He was.
Out of Delaware. And the Patriots wanted to move him to running back.
Wow.
And he's like, no, I'm a quarterback. And then That's they funny. Traded him to the Vikings. So, like, Kirk is much more, came in and has been much more of who he is. But I think the comparison with the coaches and finding the right coach is incredibly intriguing. That's very interesting.
Also, too, it's
I like it.
I think we have to be careful about, like, once a quarterback gets into his late 30s, just assuming that everyone's going to be Tom Brady now and they're all going to play into their 40s. Nice. And
amen, brother.
Generally speaking, you get to be 37, 38, 39, and that's a wrap. Brett Favre was really good at 39. Rodgers was winning MVPs at 37, you know, whatever, 38. But that's 45 is not the bar. That's the Tom Brady. If you want to eat kale for every meal and sleep in a hyperbaric chamber for 12 hours a night, then maybe you can be 45.
Yeah, you can.
And, like, you know, lose your wife and stuff.
And possibly lose millions or billions of dollars. But that's
what I'm ages 34 through 37,
yep,
that can be a peak for quarterbacks, because that's when, like, Peyton Manning used to talk about toward the end of his career, my mind dissects everything in super slow-mo now because I've been in the league for like 13 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. But now my body's breaking down. So if you can get to the point where your mind is operating like you know, like Neo in the Matrix, but your body hasn't broken down yet, and that window would tend to be 34, 30, 32, 33, maybe to 36, 37. So if those things align, it could be a peak window. And Kirk is entering it. Now, you could also just, like, drop off the map physically, and he's not the most, like, athletic guy in the world. So it wouldn't take a lot for him to
his toughness,
all of a sudden be.
Dude, his toughness is really incredible, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got hit a couple more times in Buffalo. And the dude bounces back up, and, like, I always wait for him, right, to, like, grab his ribs or something. And for the most part, aside from I think he was got the wind knocked out of him in Washington a week ago Sunday, for the most part, the guy just always gets up, sort of looks like that hurt a bit, and then it's gone.
Yeah. He is tough, man. And I will say he's tough, but he also, and Peyton Manning had this and some other guys too. Brady has this. He kind of knows how to avoid taking a hit, too.
Well,
he doesn't get sacked that often, and it's not always because the offensive line was perfect. He knows how to bail on a play without getting destroyed.
So there was actually part of the story arc that came out of the Vikings press conferences this week that I thought was interesting, and I don't think we've talked about it. Wes Phillips talked about the work that they did, and this, again, is just a small thing, but it's probably huge, with Kirk as far as in the pocket, what to do. Because you remember, I mean, we've complained about that. Like, he doesn't feel pressure. He doesn't do this and that. And, I mean, that's improved. He takes off now a bit more, it feels like, with a purpose. But it's things like that that O'Connell and that staff, I think, get a ton of credit for. Because you're talking about changing the fundamental philosophies of a guy who's 34. That's hard to do. And, like, they talked about the fact that, you know, they definitely saw things on film that Kirk could improve. And it's probably, like, small things. But if you can avoid a sack, or more importantly, a strip sack, that's going to be enormous. So, like, that's another just small thing that we probably don't focus on enough for why Cousins has gone from, you know, the quarterback he's been up until now to being a far more effective quarterback, especially when the pressure is on. Again, not caring what his stats say. I think stats are, in this case, completely overrated.
And he used to have a really bad fumbling problem. When he got here, he still had that fumbling problem in 2018. That's he had true. A ton of fumbles. I think between the time he came a starter through 2018, he led the NFL in terms of quarterback fumbles. And he's adapted to where to hold that puppy and to make sure I just fall on that ball, or I'm not going to let that be knocked loose. He has done a great job at adjusting that. And I feel like that's tough to, like, when you're in your late 20s and you're in your early 30s and you have a fumbling issue and you're able to correct that, like, that takes a lot of guts. And I think Kirk Cousins deserves a lot of credit for that.
It was still a problem last year. Hell, he had 12 fumbles last year, which was the second most in his career. This year he only has 4, though.
And he's lost one?
Knock on wood. I don't know how many he's lost.
He lost one here. I forget the opponent, and it looked like it was going to be bad, and I think they stopped him.
Someone this morning actually sent me a DM on Twitter referring back to the the Kurt Warner video breakdown of Cousins from right before the season started.
Yeah.
There was, it was a two-part thing. Kurt Warner does like quarterback film breakdown on his YouTube channel. It's awesome because it's coming from a Hall of Famer and a guy that's won a Super Bowl before. And there was one video, it was like 20 minutes showing Kirk at his peak and the great things he can do. But then there was a 20-minute sort of takedown video of here's why he's not great. Here's why he's good and not great. And it was kind of validating for, you know, the yokels like us that think we know what we're watching on TV. And it just feels like, God, he's just, he's, it's not that he's checking down all the time, but it just feels like there's a lot of, what else is out there? You know, okay, you completed it underneath to Conklin or whoever, but what, was there something else 20 yards down the field? And Warner with the All 22 video showed clips from the last couple of years of, this was a completion, but look at this thing that was 15 yards over the top breaking open. You have to anticipate that throw. And he basically said he needs to be hunting down the field more aggressively and forget about interceptions, like within reason. You know, Kurt Warner actually got a little squirrely with interceptions sometimes, but it worked out for him at the time. He basically said, if you want to be a top end great quarterback, you can't just be paralyzed by the fear of an interception. And to hear that from Kurt Warner in an All 22 film breakdown was very interesting. And if you look at the success the Vikings have had, especially after the bye week, it feels like Kirk, not in all cases, but in some big moments, especially against Buffalo, has kind of adopted what Kurt Warner is saying, which is, dude, flush the interceptions, hunt down the field for big plays. Your goal is not to just complete 8-yard passes. Your goal is to go big play hunting to Justin Jefferson. And the numbers kind of bear that out since the self-scout bye week.
Absolutely.
So let's see here. What else we got on Feedback Friday? Corey Larson says, if the Vikings hadn't traded for Hockenson, they would have lost to both the Commanders and the Bills, I think. Both those games were very close, and he made a greater impact than any other Viking tight end could have. Do you think if they wouldn't have made that trade and they had to roll with I guess Irv would have been out, so they have to roll with your guy Johnny Munt and whoever else. Do they beat the Commanders or the Bills?
Well, let's take each game separately. Washington, I think they lose. I mean, Hawk, if I'm not mistaken, had 9 catches on 9 targets, and he absolutely had a monster day. And
3 in that final drive,
yeah,
right?
3 in the final drive. So, yes, I think that that statement about Hockenson entirely true for the Washington game. Buffalo, I get the point. I'm not positive about that one. But is this a great trade? Absolutely. So we're probably splitting hairs by debating that. But what Hockenson brings you is as close as you can get to having acquired another wide receiver without the designation of that position on the player, right? Like, this is as close as you could possibly get. And for Kirk's purposes, again, you know what? This is all probably part of a bit of give and take between a guy like O'Connell and Kirk, right? Because Kirk's doing a lot of things that Kirk is probably, at the end of the day, not entirely comfortable doing, but he gets it that O'Connell's explained to win, we have to do this. But Hockenson, to me, is sort of a olive branch to Kirk, because he's the exact type of guy Kirk absolutely loves. And yeah. I do think because he's slowed down a bit, he's still effective, but not as effective, is I think Hockenson provides the type of option that Thielen did consistently. And I think that that is not there as consistently because the guy is hurt. So Hockenson to me is an olive branch to Kirk saying, you know what? You've done a ton of things that we're asking you to do. You might not be entirely comfortable. Here is a key component that you're absolutely going to love. Like, if you could go to the football player car lot and buy Kirk a car, he ain't getting the shiny car, right? He's going to get the Hawk.
The Hawk.
He's going to get the 4-wheel drive, off-road, son of a buck, can get through anything, and a lot of yak, too.
By the way, get your Hawk season shirts and hoodies at scorenorth.com/shop. scorenorth.com/shop. Victory Monday. Before I Die hoodies and shirts, some Score North and Purple Daily merch as well, and your Hawk season swag. So 7 catches for 45 yards in that Bills game, 9 catches for 70 against Washington. Those are now 2 of his top 9 biggest catch games of his career. Because he wasn't getting the ball as often as he would in Detroit, as he does with a better quarterback and other weapons to free him up and stuff. So, yeah, he only has now, going into this trade, he had 7 games in his career of 7 or more catches. Now he has 9 because of these first two games with the Vikings. He's already like more productive in 2 games, basically, as a Viking than he was as a Lion.
That's remarkable.
So interesting. Judd's been productive, losing weight over the past year, and all sorts of countless other Score North listeners have changed their lives through Livia over the past year and change.
That's right. Thanks to our friends at Livia Weight Control Centers. And yes, I said weight control. This is not a quick diet plan. I've been talking about this for months now, 40 pounds off. And here's the best part. Livia helps you maintain the weight loss. That's the most important thing. We have all lost weight. You know what we do? Inevitably, it feels like we gain that weight back. But in this case, I've learned that you don't have to. And as Phil just said, just as importantly, a lot of folks in our Score North family have learned the exact same thing. And right now, my friends at Livia have their best offer of the year for the holiday season. Ho, ho, ho. Save 50%. That's right. 50% Santa Claus here. Sports Dad, I want you to get healthy. I want you to feel great. And I'm offering you the chance, and more importantly, my friends are, to save 50%. Inside or outside the state, virtual consultations are possible, so you don't need to live in the state to join. 855-GO-LIVIA, Livia, LIVEA.com, Livia, LIVEA.com. Ho, 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 let's get the weight loss going.
All right, it's time now for the Minnesota goodbye here on Mackie and Judd. Declan, why don't you tee this up? You were texting us last night. I'll frame it up this way and say Declan was texting us. I think my neighbor is texting me and thinks that she's texting her husband.
Yes.
That's the theme.
That is the theme here. So, little backstory. This is the same neighbor that complained about Benny Boy's barking from, you know,
rightfully three
or 4 months ago. So, I met with them shortly after that barking incident. The landlord wanted me to meet with them. By the way,
So the landlord facilitated like a sit-down, come to Jesus, come to Vinny
meeting? Facilitated a meeting, but didn't want to be a part of the meeting, which I found very strange.
You told us this. Yeah, it was really
very strange. Yeah, I told you guys this off the show, I think. I know I told Judd this. I don't know if I told Phil all this.
I don't think I've heard this.
So yeah, I met with them about like a few weeks after that, and the landlord kept saying to us when we were trying to facilitate this meeting, once you meet them, you'll understand. He said that no more than 3 times in the 20-minute meeting.
Once you meet them, can you say that as a landlord?
Once you meet them, you'll understand. Now it's out there. So yeah, and I'm out. Now I'm
voicing it. It's vague enough.
So I met with them. I explained Vinny's situation, what we're doing with Vinny, all this stuff. It was honestly a pleasant meeting. It was honestly a fine meeting. It was fine. I got to know them a little bit. I exchanged numbers with them. They have now kind of abused some of that. They sometimes think the TV is too loud. They, it's a whole other thing.
So now they're just texting you their complaints and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, and I was told 50-50, don't give out your number to these people. But I said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it and whatever. Well,
wow, that's a bold move.
It is. And now this has evolved to last night.
Oh, God.
So I'm laying in bed, about to go to sleep, about to shut my little eyes to be ready for Feedback Friday. And all of a sudden, I get a little ding. And it's my neighbor above me, which I found a little strange. And let's just, I'm going to read this text message verbatim. I'm going to read this first one I got verbatim.
Thank you.
We could always write an addendum that requires them to fix all the plumbing and co-detectors and hire back unnamed person to assure that fixes have been done. I think, though, that I would be miserable up there alone, and the feeling like these awful people are forever tied to our home because if something goes wrong, we have to go to them. Objectively, the home is in pretty good shape, aside from grading, which I know to be a problem. That was one of 18 text messages
what?
I received from the following time periods of 11:40 p.m. to 1:25 a.m. So for 2 hours, I received text messages about a potential home purchase, I believe, is what was being discussed here, judging by the 18 texts.
What's funny is they're discussing, clearly, there's so much to unpack here, but they want to move because they hate living near you and your barking dog is one of the sub themes
well,
here. And
when I met with them, they mentioned to me that they're trying to move up north. Like that is their end goal. They've been in my neighborhood
older,
for a while.
Right?
Yep. And they moved into my the building. Yeah. I shouldn't say my building. They moved into the building the same month we moved in. So it wasn't like they had been there for a while. The building's also only like 5 years old. It's a newish apartment building in Minneapolis. But the weirdest one I got of all these text messages, and some of these went a little off kilter, off from the, you know, home purchase and home inspection situation. This is the weirdest one I got. Quote, then again, there is my belief fascism is coming and the horrid fantasy that we will be locked up.
What?
That's a text message I received.
What?
Then again, okay. There is my belief fascism is coming and the horrid fantasy that someone will have us locked up.
Okay. So, wow. Where do we start here? You said there's 18. She sent 18 text messages clearly, and there's no way that they were sent to you, right? This is obvious. Like they were sent to you, but it was obvious she's trying to send them to somebody else.
Correct.
And so there's no question about that.
Yes, and
she's not texting you.
And there's been previous contacts with us about Vinny or about neighbors and about like so there, it's clear my name is saved in her phone as my name. I'm assuming it is.
So and over what? So you said 18 texts over what period of time?
Two hours.
But when was the last one you received?
Last night at 1:15 a.m.
So this morning.
So presumably, and the other person hasn't responded back, right? Because obviously, I'm just wondering, did you at any point think, I'm going to jump in and just be like, hey, wrong number.
It was so entertaining, I didn't want to ruin it. I'll be completely honest.
But I mean, these are important to get to the husband who's traveling. Is that what it is?
I don't know where he is. I did get a few. I would really appreciate a response by tomorrow. I did get one of those in there.
Dude, I feel like you've got to fess up.
No,
like you want these
this is
to
not
move.
My problem. This is not my issue. And I also did so about halfway through this time period, you know how if you have an individual text, you can mute the thread, and it will say very clearly at the bottom of a text thread, like if I mute a conversation right now between
this person
one of
has
you, muted conversations. I did that to think maybe the next text she'll send, she'll see, oh my God, I'm texting the wrong person. That didn't work.
Why don't you just respond, hey, I think you meant to send this to someone else. What's preventing you from saying that?
Right.
I'm kind of just fixated on her realizing that she has. I want her to realize she's
no,
messed
I think
up
you
here.
Just want it to go away. You want this uncomfortable exchange.
I'm actually kind of like
to
in
fix itself.
As all these texts have been coming in, I've been more like enthralled with this story now, to be completely honest, of this and home inspection and everything else. But I also want her to realize the error of her ways on her own.
Well,
that makes
first
sense?
Of all, I get what you're saying. But first of all, you are potentially slowing down a process that you want to take place, which is they get out. The second thing is this has the potential, if she does come to realize within the next couple of days what's gone wrong, to be very uncomfortable for you because like at some
she's
point
she's
going to
know that you did. She knows that you saw the texts
and you didn't try and stop. Like I would have almost immediately been like, sorry, it's Judd from downstairs. You remember Vinny boy, bark, bark,
bark, bark.
I feel like this is going to get, cause you get uncomfortable about stuff, Dex. And like this has the potential to get really uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you have a window here. Cause this is still, we're still in the morning here the next day.
Yeah. Very late
so
in the morning.
It is reasonable that if you carry this into the nighttime and you haven't responded yet, now you've made it weird. She's made it weird. She's made it more weird than anyone because she's like rifled off 18 text messages, like these messages that are clearly meant for like a very close person in her life. But if you don't respond back at some point within a reasonable amount of time with, hey, you got the wrong number.
I agree.
And it just lingers. I think now you're making it weird.
I don't think I'm making anything weird. The fact this relationship, yes, has started because of my amazing barking dog, and that's fine. But this is not on me to correct. This is not on me to fix.
Okay, and that's fine. And I don't disagree with that. But now it's on you to live with the consequences of how wildly uncomfortable, beyond how it was uncomfortable before, when you run into them in the hallway or her in the hallway, and she knows that she rifled off 18 text messages to you, and you just laughed at them and ignored them.
There's a fighting chance that they will come down and knock on your door about this if they understand, if they begin to get an idea that she texted the wrong person, too. Like, are you ready? Are you prepared for this?
I do not want that.
Who the hell's that?
Why didn't she respond?
Declan, we'd like to talk to you. It's your neighbors.
I'm a home alone this evening, too. So
I'm just saying, I think Phil's right. I would send, in fact, you know what? Right now, we can all craft it. I think we should craft a note back saying, hey, it's come to my attention or something, or I got these, I woke up and saw these texts.
Just woke up.
Hey,
it's like 2 in the afternoon.
She has no idea that, that guy, she doesn't pay attention to our podcast. No, it's
should
right
I address
now,
her by name? Hey there,
11:30.
Blank.
Yes, I would make it as personal as possible because you want to avoid the pissed off.
Make her feel a little dumb, too. This is your chance because she's been clowning you about the dog for a long time. This is... The ball is in your court.
I agree.
To make her feel a little dumb here.
Okay.
Yeah, you can certainly be a little snarky. I think the most important thing is that you make it very clear that you got these.
Here's been sending.
It is. It is so much like.
It's my another chapter, and that I'm Larry David Jr. It's just absurd.
It is.
It's
amazing, dude. I want to hear from people. How would you handle this? I want tweet us.
Hey,
at Dex tweets, at Phil Mackey, at Jay Zolgad. Hit us up in the YouTube comments. How would you handle this?
Hey, comma, I was really confused at first by this, but I think that you meant this for someone else. I received a series of texts. Hey is insulting, I think, a little bit.
Or
right?
You know, another option would be just respond LOL.
Just like the like
these are
texting.
Old people. You guys are doing young people. Yeah, no, that's funny, but don't do that.
Or heart one of them.
You,
empathize one of them.
She won't look at it. It's very clear from your muting attempt, she's not looking at that. So you've got to make it very clear.
Oh,
this is Declan, your neighbor.
Well, the other thing too though is once you respond, your name will pop up. So she'll think, "Oh, she's getting a text from the neighbor." And then she'll realize what she did.
Yep.
So it's not like, well, whatever you send, she's going to realize the once she opens it up.
What if I just said, hey there, blank name. It appears you meant these for another person, period. Is that fine? Should I be a little more snarkier? Is there a chance?
No,
this is the adult one to do. I could just do that, period.
Or you know what you could do? How about this? This is another thing that I might do. Hey, I think you meant these for another person, but ... and then give your opinion on the things that she has said.
Oh, I'm not doing that. No, no way.
Just here's my two cents.
Declan, your neighbor, I think you meant this for a different person. Let me say this. The sooner you move, the better.
Phoenix,
but you do want them
regards.
Out, so you don't want to, like the
us.
Last thing, the curb thing would be accidentally involving yourself or not, and they don't move.
Amazing.
And they come downstairs and say, we were all set to move, but we didn't get a response from the people, and Declan, it's just incredible.
Right.
And you're like, oh my God,
the text has
my
been
fault.
Sent. It's been
sent. Oh, here we go. Let's go. Oh, my God. All right. There's your Mackie and Judd. Same bat time, same bat channel to find out. Will Declan be murdered this weekend by his neighbors? Find out next time on Mackie and Judd. Vikings Vent Line right after Vikings Cowboys on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. We'll see you guys.